St. John 16:12 says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. That's just exciting to me. Hallelujah. He wants us to have grace and peace. In Peter, it says, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge. So the more you know about the things of the kingdom of God, the more grace and peace you're going to have. Grace meaning that you're going to know how to access the kingdom. Walk in the ability of God, you're going to know how to pray in a situation. There was a time when a problem came along, all I could do was say, help, Jesus, help. That's all you could say. Help me, help me. And then you'd run to your neighbor, help me. Oh my goodness, help me. Or you'd just run here and you'd run there and you'd just be like, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pull my hair out. I'm going to lose my mind. Now you don't do that, do you? You've grown a little in the things of God. You've learned to settle in and you've learned to understand that there's a right way to pray about things. And the devil's not nearly big and as bad as you think he is. Not when you're in the kingdom. I wouldn't want to tackle him outside of God. But if you're in the kingdom, bigger than God. The devil ain't bigger than God. Where are you seated? In heavenly places? I am. Are you just trying to get there or are you there? I'm there. Are you in heavenly places? That's what Jesus said. That's what Paul said in Ephesians. That we've been made to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus, where's Christ? Where's Jesus? He's in heavenly places. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Where are you? You're right there with him. In him. In him. Everything, every blessing is in him. You don't want to be outside of in him. You want to be in him, not out of him. So in him is all the blessings. In Christ is all the peace. In Christ is all the authority. Every name that is named. Far above. He's seated far above. If he's seated far above and you're seated in him, that means you're seated far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. That's where you are, really are in the spirit world, in the spirit realm. You're made to sit with him right now. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, your spirit man is connected to Jesus in a very intimate, very powerful, intimate, entwining way. I don't know how he did it, but when he raised Jesus from the dead, he raised you from the dead. When he made him ascend into heaven and sat in heavenly places, you went with him. You were buried with him in his death, his burial, his resurrection. Everything is identification in Christ. You are one with him. Not going to be. You are right now one with Jesus. We have been made to sit with him right now. He delegated authority to the church, his body. Do you know the body can't do a thing without the head? The body cannot do one single thing without the head. My hand can't pick up a glass. My hand can't write a letter unless my head gets involved in it. That's just the truth. And Jesus is raising up a body that's going to do what he says do. Wouldn't you just hate to tell your hand to go get you a glass of water and it would say, I ain't getting you a glass of water. I ain't doing that. Rebellious little hand. Rebellious little foot. I want to walk over there. I ain't walking over there. I know the Lord is waiting on the body to come into unity. In fact, that's why the gifts were given. That's why the power gifts are given. The 9 spiritual gifts are given to the body to bring us into unity so that we can be a body on the earth, not just my world and no more, my 4 and no more. No, we got to start seeing ourselves as a part of the body of Christ. And we are a part of the body of Christ. Whether you see yourself that way or not, you are. See, that's the reality. That's a reality check. Just because my little pinky may say, I don't want to be a part of your body. Well, I'm sorry, you're there. You ain't got a choice in this. If you're born again, you are born into the kingdom of God, and now you're a part of the kingdom. Some folks say, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. I can I can serve God at home. You know something? That little pinky is important to this body. This little thumb is important. Everything God put on my body, your body, is important to your body. We are important to each other. We need each other. So we're going to have something called a revelation. A revelation how important we are. A revelation of how important we are as individuals. How important am I? You know, it's so easy to feel like you're no good. I'm not important. They won't miss me. They won't miss me. They don't even think about me. I don't even need to go. I don't even need to go to church. I don't need to be there. How many times has the enemy told me that lie? How many times has the devil told you that lie? Count it a blessing, count it a privilege that God has called you into something He wants to do, something He has purposed in the earth. And you know the great thing about God? He takes the foolish things to confound the wise. Did you know that? He takes the base things, things that people would never ever think was of any value, and He does something with them, just like you said. It's amazing how God can take the smallest and make the biggest thing out of it, or do some great things. Verse 13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are Mine. Therefore said I that He shall take of Mine and show it unto you. Revelation 3:20. I'm just going to read down through this, okay? Read these verses here, because they are all tied together. I'll show you. I'll work hard here to tie them all together. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man may hear My voice, or the word, and open the door, I will come into him, and will sup with him, and he with Me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with Me in My throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set with My Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This is not future. This is right now. This is what Jesus is saying. Did He overcome? When did He overcome? He overcame 2,000 years ago. When did He sit at the right hand of the Father? 2,000 years ago. This is the position of the church. But you're going to have to overcome. He overcame. What did He overcome? What did Jesus overcome? He overcame His flesh. He overcame. God would not have forced Him to go willingly to the cross. He was not dragged, kicking and screaming to that cross. He marched boldly, willingly, and laid down His life voluntarily. He had to overcome something to do that. He laid down His will for the Father's will. That was His, He said, if there be any other way, if, that was His if. If there's any other way, if they can go to heaven without this, if they can maybe be good, if there would be a group of people who could get together and be really, really perfect, if they all could get together, maybe there'll be somebody who can keep the law. If there's a group that can maybe muster up the fortitude, Lord, let that be the way to heaven. If there's any other way out of this, let this cup pass from Me. But there was no other if. There was only one way to get us into the kingdom. And it was Him willingly, voluntarily laying down His life. That's a pretty deep thing. That's a pretty deep thing to think about. And suffered in every way for us. So Jesus had an if. Jesus had this if, and He overcame. He overcame His flesh, just like we got to. He overcame His wants, wishes, and desires, just like we have to move on into the glory that was prepared for Him. Now, Jesus, because He did overcome, He has been so glorified by God. He has been so highly exalted because that he was faithful in every point without sin. And he was totally obedient to the will of God in every way. God has so highly honored and glorified him that he's given him a name. He gave him the name, his name. Jesus had the name Jesus before he was Jesus. But when he went through the cross and he went through that, was raised up, that resurrection power that raised him up, his name was glorified. His name was resurrected. His name was made the name above every other name that'll ever be spoken out of anybody's mouth ever in heaven, earth, or hell. That's a reality. We can speak his name and it carries authority. In heaven, those three worlds, authority in heaven, earth, and hell because of what he went through. He overcame and he was granted by God to set on his throne. He's at the right hand of the Father. There is another higher place. It's a high place. And he says, you've been made to sit there. But there's conditions, just like with him. There was conditions to be there, to stay there. I mean, we're there because we were raised up with Christ. But most of the church is either a defeated church. There's three kinds of churches. Did you know three kinds of churches? And you can walk into a church and tell whether they're one of the three. They're either a triumphant church because he was triumphant. That's the kind of church I want. That's the kind of church I like to be in, where people know what they've got in the kingdom. A church that knows, a church and pastor that's preaching, or people who are accepting and receiving a word of victory. Thanks be unto God who always causes the triumph in Christ. Why can we know that? Because he triumphed. He triumphed over death, hell, and the grave, but most of all, he triumphed over his own self, his own desire to not go through with it. His flesh, he's a human being. See, that's why he can be tempted in every, he understands he's been tempted in every point, yet without sin. He is very familiar with our weaknesses. He's very familiar with your temptations because he was tempted in every point as a person. We have a man representing us in the kingdom. We have a man, a real human being, has passed into heaven to make intercession for us, who represents us. He's our advocate. He's your lawyer. He can do a better job than anybody else because he's been where we are as human beings. Isn't that wonderful? It's just so wonderful to know when I go boldly to the throne, a man invited me, a man named Jesus, the lowly carpenter who's been highly exalted, but yet he knows how to be low. He knows how to get right where we are. He knows exactly how to get right to the heart of your issues and situations. He can be right there with you in your grief because he bore it. And I know he's saying, you don't need to bear that. I bore that for you. I carried that grief for you. You don't have to be sick. I took that on me. I took on sickness so you wouldn't have to be sick. I made provision for all your needs. All your needs are met in me. Take no thought what you're going to eat. No, take no thought what you're going to wear. Take no worries. Don't think about it. Don't even be concerned about it. I'm making provision for you. I made provision for you. Because he died and he's alive, I can live too. I'm alive. You're alive. You're alive because of Jesus. And he said, because I live, you will live also. Your life is hid in Christ. Paul said, my life is hidden. You can't kill me. You can't kill a dead man. What can you do with somebody already dead? Praise God. Isn't this exciting? What's the new birth given us? It's given us a whole bunch of things. He wants to tell you all about it. He wants you to know all the mysteries. He wants you to know all the wonderful, wonderful things you've been given. He doesn't want you to see yourself as an old beggarly worm anymore, just barely trying to get by, begging God for a crumb, and start, and you know, try to talk God into doing something for you. Do you know He's not a taskmaster God? He's a loving heavenly Father. We've been given the spirit of adoption. That's what Jesus did. He sent us the same spirit. When He cried, Father, He told the Jews, He said, God's my Father. Who do you think you are? He said, before Abraham was, I was. You know, they just couldn't get it. He is my Father. Then when we become born again, sealed with that anointing, sealed with the blood, receiving the Holy Spirit, then we have the Holy Spirit that connects us, not just connects us, adopts us into a family. We've been adopted into a family. He sees you, He loves you just as much as He loves Jesus. And all the privileges and all the blessings and all the provision that Jesus had and has right now at the right hand of the Father, you have. But if you notice all the ifs, all these little ifs here, all these little ifs are where we stuff our toe. This is where we get stuck in all those ifs. But God's just letting you know it's available, but here's the condition. Here's what you do. Here's your part. Here's your part in growing in the things of God. We're 15 verse 1. I am the true vine, and my father is the husbandman. Remember, His Father is my Father. My Father, He said, is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. There's a process to get to this beautiful fruit. Something had to happen, a process for the fruit to come forth. There's never been a farmer that didn't plan to have some fruit out of all their work. They plant the seed, and they wait, develop the vine, and then the branch. Do you know that this fruit didn't even grow off of the vine? It grew off of a branch of the vine. You know, you ever notice apple trees? They're not, apple's not attached to the trunk of the tree, is it? There's a branch coming off the tree. Okay, so you're a branch off of the main tree, off the main tree. Jesus says, I'm the tree. I'm the vine. I'm the trunk. And the Father is watching over what's going on in our lives. So you're not a fruit that's stuck to the, you're a branch that's attached to the vine. So here's the vine. Who's Jesus? He's giving you an illustration, and there's a branch. Now the branch is supposed to do something. Branches are supposed to produce fruit. The fruit comes off the branch. What if that branch decided, I'm not bearing any fruit? I'm just going to be a happy little branch. Lots of leaves, but I'm not going to give you any fruit. I'm not going to produce a thing. Do you know God isn't going to be happy with that? You're going to have to do some bearing some fruit. Now, how do we bear fruit? If you ever think about, a lot of people say, oh, you got to be so good. Is that bearing fruit, being good? Is there really any fruit in bearing being good? Think about it. Let's think about it. What do you do with fruit? You just look at it. It's got a purpose. You eat it. It brings nourishment. Fruit, and fruit brings more fruit usually because there's seed in this fruit. There's seed in here to plant and make more fruit. You see, there is a purpose in us being attached to Jesus and staying attached. And this is where the if comes in. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it. Now, a lot of people don't understand what that is, but that's pruning. Because it takes away of the nutrients that you want to get into that fruit. You want that branch completely cleaned so it can really be a good fruitful branch and bear a good healthy piece of fruit. because you're going to eat that thing. So that's what he's doing. He does a pruning, setting back the extra stuff that doesn't need to be there, so you'll be more fruitful. Now, sometimes we don't like that cutting back, that purging. But it's just so you'll be more fruitful. Now, this is what I believe with all my heart. I like being a good person. I like being a good person. I don't like being a bad person, that's for sure. But we got to stop thinking in terms of good and bad. We got to stop thinking in terms of the fact that it's our works that is doing something. Your works is not important to God. God said it's by grace through faith, not of yourself. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift of God. So everything we produce, we do it unto God. We do it out of our spirit. God's not looking at your natural, you know, he's not looking at natural things. He's looking at your spiritual fruit. Fruit. Now, it's going to show up in the natural. It will show up in natural things. It will manifest itself in the natural. But remember this. Every single thing in the physical world that we live in has an origin in the spirit world. If you will just really believe that, I promise it's true. Because Jesus is talking in terms here of bearing fruit. He's not talking about apples, grapes, and oranges. He's talking about what you and I, as children of the living God, can produce while we're here on this earth. Producing things. It's just awesome. Just awesome. And I just stop and think about some stuff that's happening in your life. Can you see some fruit you've been bearing? You see some fruit? I'm seeing some fruit. I'm seeing the manifestation of prayers being answered. God wanted that all the time. But somebody had to believe God and pray the prayer and manifest that fruit. What are you manifesting? You're manifesting the Word. You're manifesting the Word. Okay, let me show you why you're manifesting the Word. Let's just read on down through here. He says, verse 3, now you're clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Well, we just established that, right? That branch cannot bear fruit being a little, you know, branch broken off. It can't bear. It has to be attached to the vine. Because all the nutrients and all the sustenance comes from that vine. He says, except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. The abiding in the Word, abiding in the Word is exactly the same as abiding in Jesus. It's exactly the same thing as abiding in the vine. And that abiding Word there is talking about you live there. This is where you are comfortable. This is your home. You don't run off. You don't jump ship. You don't run away. You don't abandon your post. You don't abandon your position. You don't forget who you are. You know who you are in Christ. You don't run away just because things feel bad or sad or upset or you made somebody's mad at you or you're mad at somebody. You abide there. You stay there. It's called staying power. Staying power. So this, I'm stuck here. I'm going nowhere. I abide here, by golly. This is my home. You ain't running me off. I abide in him. Now, Jesus isn't going to run anybody off, but I'm telling you, the devil will try to run you off. He will tell you, then people don't like you. Then people don't want you there. You're not important to that church. You're not important to that body of Christ. You're not important to this one or that one. Or, you know, just the devil will tell you everything because he don't want you abiding in the Word. He doesn't want you reading the Bible. You see, the Word is where you abide. You abide in Christ. Every time you made up your mind, every day. Remember the if he went with? The if Jesus had to deal with? If there was no other way to get us born again, to get in the vine, to be branches in this beautiful, wonderful vine of the kingdom. And it's a big vine. Jesus is a big Jesus. This is a big calling on our lives. You are called to abide in Christ. Everything I do, everything I say is an abiding life. I have an abiding life. I get up every day. You think I've checked to see if I'm still saved? No. I'm abiding in the vine. I'm abiding in the vine. Not in heaven yet. We have an opportunity right now to affect the world, the lost world, the dark world. Jesus calls us light in a dark place. We're lights. You don't put a light under a bushel. You set it on a candlestick. You let that light shine in the dark. It doesn't take a lot of light to make a difference in a dark place. Verse 5, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Here's the if. Here's one of the first ifs. If a man abide not in me. It's about abiding in a relationship by faith in Jesus. See, we live for Jesus by faith. If you're doing anything outside of faith, it's works. Anything that's not of faith is sin. Did you know that? Whoa. Seriously? You mean if I can't do something by faith, it's called sin? In another place, he said, everything you do it to the glory of God. So everything I do, I've got my internal knower going on here, always checking, am I doing this by faith or am I doing this to please people? I'm not a people pleaser, by the way. But I'm doing it to please him by faith. Because God can only bless our walk in faith. We think God will give us brownie points because we did some good work. I mean, God wants you to do good works, but your faith will produce good works. Your faith will automatically happen. In other words, here's the Ten Commandments. Here's the Ten Commandments. If I set up every day and I read those off every day, and I've got two plaques in my home, this is the Ten Commandments. I love the Ten Commandments. They are the foundation. They are foundational truths. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not. But how do y'all know I have never kept them all by myself? And you won't either. But you're going to have to do it. Yeah, we will do it. We will keep them. We will keep them, but you know who keeps them? The vine through us keeps them. That vine, that love of God, that love that's flowing into us from that vine. See, the love of God constrains me. The love of God just kind of... Don't go there. Ever have the Holy Spirit just, that love just kind of raises up and say, you know, that ain't right. No, you should knock their head off. You know, there's something inside you because you're connected and you're abiding in him. The word is what keeps you. The word is what keeps you. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. That's a pretty serious thing. But that's a picture of a Christian, I believe. That's a picture of a Christian who's rebellious, who decides they're going to do it all their own way. They don't need to consult with God. They don't need to abide in the Word. And they think they're going to be fruitful without God. They think they're going to be wonderful believers without walking by faith, just doing works, work, works all the time. They could be the one that shows up, cleans the church, pays their tithes, some of the best people ever. But they come up short because they don't do it by faith. They're not doing it out of obedience to his Spirit. They're doing it out of brownie points. There's a lot of good people going to be in hell, I hate to tell you. Good people. Good people. Just do good stuff. But they don't know Jesus. They're not attached to the vine. They're not flowing by the Holy Spirit. They're not allowing the Holy Spirit to talk to them, lead them and guide them into truth. And bear fruit of the vine. Bear fruit out of the vine, the branch. See, the fruit that they bear, the fruit they want to bear, is on their own terms. That's their own terms. Well, God, look here at all this fruit. Don't y'all remember Cain and Abel? They both brought a sacrifice to God, didn't they? But there was only one that was received, and that was Abel's. Why? Because why? There had to be a reason why. They weren't both received. See, a lot of things that we do in life, we think that we ought to be getting a star by our name in heaven. Or we ought to be getting a brownie point from God, or we ought to be getting more accepted or more blessed from God because I've done this or this and this. And it's not about the do's, it's about walking by faith and abiding in the vine. Who is the vine? Let me break this down. Jesus is the Word of God. You cannot separate Jesus from the Word. The Word is Jesus. Jesus is the vine. Establish that in your life. Establish that in your heart. You're not going to do anything by faith outside of the Word of God. If the Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you've received that as a living, breathing, viable part of your life, and it's the juice of that is flowing into your being, and you know that with all of your heart, you really know that, that's going to make you bear some fruit. If you know with all your heart you're abiding in the Word, the vine, and the Word in you says to be careful for nothing, but through everything, through prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's a juice coming into your life. That's a flow. That's the Holy Spirit, Word of God being flown into your heart. It's viable. It's alive to you. It's working in you. And it will cause you to bear fruit. It can't do any otherwise. And if you have another word that says, by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. And you believe that with all your heart, and that juice from that vine you're attached to is flowing into you. It creates a knowing in you, and it will produce a fruit by faith. You will produce fruit from whatever the Word says you can produce fruit with. The Word is to be fruitful in your life. He didn't give us His Word and His promises just so we could just be nice, sweet, kind, loving, little good people. He did it so you could bear fruit in the earth. And you could walk in victory 100% of the time. Glory to God. If He says grace and peace is multiplied to you through the knowledge, then that's a juice coming into me. That's a living, viable truth that's resident. And it's doing something in my life as a branch attached to the vine. The Word. Jesus is the Word made flesh. And so the Holy Spirit's says, there's many things I want to tell you, but you just can't. Got to get some fruit going out of these other things you've got going on yet. Start producing fruit out of, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If that's a word He's given you, He may not have given you that yet. He's given me that. He says, I will not fear what man can do unto me. The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me. That's a juice coming through the vine into my being. I'm a branch, and that's a juice flowing into my spirit, man. And I do not fear what man. The Lord's my helper. That's going to produce fruit in my life. It can't help but do that. There's no other way around it. It'll produce fruit, I'll guarantee you. When He says, come boldly to the throne of grace to receive grace, mercy, and help in the time of need. There's another living juice of sap of good coming into me, the Word. And it makes me produce. It drives me to my knees. It causes me by faith to get before the throne of God, and it causes me to pray. And I expect to receive. I don't hope I receive. I know I'm going to receive. I expect to receive because that fruit, that juice is going to make me produce fruit. The Word produces in the believer's life that believes it. And you activate it with your actions, with your words, with your manner and way of life. This is called being fruitful. Producing fruit. What does the Word say? It says whatever Word says, you can produce that fruit of it. It will bring you peace like you've never known before. Like it says in Philippians, what things are pure? What things are lovely? What if there be any virtue, any praise? Think on these things, and the peace of God will keep your heart and mind. Your peace, that peace. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, my peace I leave to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. My peace I give to you. Learn to allow the Holy Spirit to allow that peace to flow through you. That's bearing fruit. When everything is flying apart and people screaming, people cussing, people fighting in your family, just let that fruit produce. Produce the fruit of peace. Let peace begin to be a part of your branch. You are a branch, abiding in a vine. Jesus' vine is so big. There's the if. Verse 7, if you abide in me, I just love it. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Is anybody hearing this? The Holy Spirit is giving us an understanding today that if you're abiding in the Word, you can ask what you will. And the wonderful thing about abiding in the Word is you will never pray outside of His will. Because if you're abiding, you know His will. The will is already understood in your heart. I would never pray that God would kill somebody, because He isn't a killer. I would pray God convict them, shut them up if they're destroying people. You know, there are things that you can pray that you know is the will. He says if you know that He hears you, then you know that He have the petition that is desired of Him, and whatever you ask, you receive of Him. But that's bearing fruit. God expects us to be fruitful, but it's not going to happen because we're big and bad and mean and sad. It's going to be because we're abiding in this Word, and this Word is abiding in us. And we've learned how to pray properly, believe properly, and we're going to bear some fruit. My son called me the other day and he said, Mom, I want you to pray about something. And of course, I started giving him advice. And he said, I didn't call you to get a bunch of advice, Mom. I know all this. But he said, I called to ask you to pray, because I know you get results when you pray. Because I'm sitting in my own really nice big office right now. And about 3 months ago, he called and asked me to pray that he would get his own office as a refinery. And he was a new employee. He just started last May. And now he's saying, things are just like that that bless me. Because God, I expect God to answer my prayers, don't you? Mm-hmm. Don't you expect Him to do what you ask Him to do? He said, you can ask what you will. You can ask what you will. Yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. It's just, He wants you to be blessed. He wants us to enjoy our lives. He doesn't want you running around mad and sad and bad all the time. You can't be a happy Christian. He wants you happy. He wants the joy of the Lord as your strength. Mm-hmm. Glory to God. That's true. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now, this is an issue right here. This is love. This is a love that abides. It's the kind of love that you can have access to when you're abiding in the vine, when you're abiding in Jesus by faith. Do you know the Christian life is totally by faith? You don't live for God without faith. You just can't. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He said, call upon me. Call upon me in the time of trouble. I will hear. I will hear. God wants you to call on Him. He's limited Himself to us praying. We just wonder, why didn't God just show up and do that? Well, maybe you didn't ask Him to. He wakes me up and tells me to pray for things all the time. Get up and pray for this. Get up and pray for that. Well, why can't you just do that without me praying and waking me up at 3 a.m? Well, because He needs me to pray. Because He knows I believe. He knows I can be fruitful. Because He wants us to produce the manifest whatever we're praying for. We can manifest things. I'm going to bear more fruit than I've ever borne. Mm-hmm. And you are too. Because you're going to learn how to speak. You're going to learn how to pray. Speak to mountains. Jesus said, whosoever shall say to this mountain. Doesn't say anything about getting on your knees and asking God to come down and deal with the mountain. He says, you speak to the mountain. You speak to that mountain. You command it to go. And that shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. A whatsoever is a huge ticket. That's a blank ticket to me. You said, whatsoever? Really? You don't give me a blank ticket, God. Are you sure? You want to give Teresa a blank ticket here? Well, you know, we're all... Well, one time in that verse it says to believe. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Mark 11:23-24. Who's got to believe what you're saying before it'll come to pass? You don't have to say it 3 times more than you believe it. Okay, let's go down to verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You're my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. So what did he just command them? Command them to love. Do you know that's the commandment of the New Testament? There's only one commandment that takes care of all the ten. All the ten are hanging on this one commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. And the neat thing is when you get a revelation that the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost and he gives you the ability to love God and you automatically start loving yourself. God wants us to love ourselves. I'm telling you what, I'm a transformed person. I am a living testimony of chapter 12 of Romans. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your thinker. Don't be conformed to the way people think. Think out of the box. Think the way God thinks. Oh, yeah, they'll think you're crazy. Oh, yeah, they'll laugh at you. Yeah, they'll think you're, but they don't live in the peace I live in. I've had them come up to me, Sonny, what do you do for fun? You don't do nothing. What do you do for fun? Hey, I got more fun than you can imagine. I got more peace than you can imagine. I'm speaking to mountains. Can you speak to mountains? Can you call those things that are not as though they are? That's what Abraham did. That's the kind of faith that God expects you and I to have. Considered not the deadness of his own body, but he gave glory to God. He was strong in faith, wasn't he? God wants us strong in faith. He doesn't want us worried. He doesn't want us nervous, shaky, and jerky. That's what I always call nervous, shaky, and jerky. Look at the word. Let the word be the juice that comes into your being and cause it to produce fruit. He's teaching us how to be fruitful believers. Not in panic mode all the time. Fearful mode. Oh, I can't do this and I can't do that. I take the can't out. You can't say can't and I can do all things at the same time. It doesn't. Sweet water and bitter water doesn't come out of the same fountain. You can't make it work. It doesn't work. Either you're speaking the word, producing fruit, or you're speaking something of death and negative. Life and death is in the power of your tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Whatever fruit you are speaking, that's what you're going to eat. And it may not produce immediately, but it will produce. Glory. Then he says, love, 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 love. Now, the greatest thing about all this is that faith works by love, just like a car works by gas. You can't make a car go just because you want it to. Pet it all day. Shine it up. Pretty car. Why don't you run? You got to put gas in it. You got to make sure your gas tank is full if you're going on a long trip, right? You better make sure your love tank is full. You better make sure you really love God, you really love his word, and you love yourself. Because you're not going to love other people unless you do love yourself. You're going to have to forgive yourself. I forgive myself very, very, very quickly these days. Didn't used to. I used to have about a ball bat right here. I carried it around every day. Just beat myself up. Look in the mirror. You just the scum of the earth. Hated myself because I was the scum of the earth. I really was. And if you really get right down to it, you ain't so good looking either outside of Jesus. You ain't so good either. I mean, there really is no good thing in you and me. On your best day, looks like scum. Without Jesus. But with Jesus, abiding in that vine, abiding in that love, letting that love juice flow, allowing him to be in you. He's making you like him. He that saith he abideth in him ought to also walk as he walked, the word says. I don't know many people that are doing that, but I'm working on it. I'm pressing into that. But the whole thing with me is I want to be fruitful. I want my prayers answered 100% of the time. I want to manifest this word. I want to prove to the world that this God I serve is real. And that, verse 15, henceforth, I call you not servants, for servants knoweth not what the Lord doeth. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. He's ordained you and I. We have a commission on our lives. He told the disciples, he said, go into all the world, preach the gospel. If they believe, they'll be saved. If people don't believe, they'll be damned. It's kind of simple. There's life and there's death. There's choices. You can go to heaven, you go to hell. It's really not God's fault if people go to hell. So that you can, but you've got to tell people. You've got to say there is a way to serve God. You can go to heaven. And you can enjoy heaven while you're here if you understand how to abide in the vine. Now, your flesh is not going to like all this. Just know this right now. Your flesh is not up here, yay, waving pom-poms, jumping up and down. But your spirit man is. See, the real you is. The real you knows what I'm saying is the truth because it bears witness with your spirit, does it? Witness, see? The Holy Spirit, that's why the Holy Spirit is here today. Because he's been sent for one big reason, and that's to build up the body, to edify the body. He's anointed us. We're anointed. I'm anointed by the Holy Spirit to produce fruit, to share the word. We're clean through that word. That word will change you because it says that it's quick and powerful. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder between the soul and the spirit. It'll just slay you. Will the word not just slay you out? Has anybody ever flayed fish? If you want to discern between the soul and the spirit, that's a big deal right there. Because your soul will deceive you and it'll make you think it's your spirit talking to you and it's your soul. And it'll talk you right out of the word of God. But if you compare the word to your soul thought, your mind, your will, your emotions, and it'll slay you. The word of God does. It'll just take away any doubt. That's your soul, Teresa. That's your old filthy thinking. Here's what the word says. It divides asunder between the soul and the spirit because they're so close. No. Hard to know. But the word makes it clear. That's the word. That's why it's so good to be quick and powerful. Because it changes us.